गोपीजना वल्लभ गिरिवरधारी गोपीजना वल्लभ गिरिवरधारी यशोदानन्दन व्रज जनरञ्जन यशोदानन्दन व्रज जनरञ्जन यमुना तीरवन चारी यमुना तीरवन चारी जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदानन्दन व्रज जनरञ्जन यमुना तीरवन चारी जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी राधा माधव कुंज विहारी जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य स्तोत्र शत श्री श्रीमद इस डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी शिल प्रभुपाद की जय अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवतम की जय ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री श्री गुरु एंड गौरंग नारायणम नमस्कृत्य नरम चैव नरोत्तमम देवीम सरस्वतीम व्यासम ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्ठिकी ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय टेक्स्ट नंबर 10 चैप्टर 3 गजेंद्रस प्रेयर ऑफ सरेंडर नम आत्म प्रदीपाय साक्षिणे परमात्मने నమో గిరాం విదూరాయ మనశ్చేతసామపి నమ ఆత్మప్రదీపాయ సాక్షినే పరమాత్మనే నమో గిరాం విదూరాయ మనసాశ్చేతసామపి నమ ఆత్మప్రదీపాయ సాక్షినే పరమాత్మనే నమో గిరాం విదూరాయ మనసశ్చేతసామపి. ప్లీజ్ చాంట్. నమ ఆత్మ ప్రదీపాయ సాక్షినే పరమాత్మనే నమో గిరాం విదూరాయ మనసశ్చేతసామపి నమః. ఐ ఆఫర్ మై రెస్పెక్ట్ఫుల్ ఒబేసెన్సెస్. Atma-pradipaya, unto he who is self-effulgent or who gives enlightenment to the living entities, Sakshine, one who is situated in everyone's heart as a witness, Paramatmane, unto the Supreme Soul, the Super Soul, Namaha, I offer my respectful obeisances. Giram, by words. Viduraya, who is impossible to reach. Manasaha, by the mind. Chetasam, or by consciousness. Api, even. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the self-effulgent Supersoul, who is the witness in everyone's heart, who enlightens the individual soul, and who cannot be reached by exercises of the mind, words, or consciousness. Purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna cannot be understood by the individual soul through mental, physical, or intellectual exercises. It is by the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead that the individual soul is enlightened. Therefore, the Lord is described here as Atma Pradipa. The Lord is like the sun which illuminates everything and cannot be illuminated by anyone. Therefore, if one is serious about understanding the Supreme, one must receive enlightenment from Him, as instructed in Bhagavad Gita. One cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead by one's mental, physical, or intellectual powers. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. శ్రీ చైతన్య మనోభీష్టం స్థాపితం యేన భూతలే స్వయం రూప కదా మహ్యం దదాతి స్వపదాంతికం వాంఛాకల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపా సింధుభ్య ఏవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః. శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్తవృంద, హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే. ఇన్ 1970 or 69, in the early days, Srila Prabhupada in 26 Second Avenue would have kirtan programs. So it would be mostly kirtan, 15-20 minutes of some speech on Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam, and then kirtan. And Prabhupada's audience was mainly the counterculture prabhus. The counterculture prabhus were those who, as the name says, counterculture. They were against culture. Counterculture is where they found the status quo unacceptable. And they were all about free, being free-spirited, about freedom, about exploring. They were seekers. Although they were seekers, they didn't have they didn't have a proper method for seeking truth. So they experimented with hallucinogens, drugs, LSD, to get on, to become high. And the idea was, when you get onto that high state, then you're almost self-realized, that you're free from the body-mind constraints. They were like that. So they were very, very open. They were seeking. And in that time, Srila Prabhupada came to give Krishna consciousness. So one such evening, when Prabhupada was having kirtan, there was one woman who was swaying and dancing very much in the kirtan. And after her, all that was over, when kirtan stopped, she told Srila Prabhupada, "Swamiji, when I chant, I see some red light. I see some red light." And Prabhupada's answer was, "Keep chanting, it'll go away." Because this idea of, because they were under some influence of some drugs or whatever, the whole set of people used to think that somehow they have come to touch the Supreme, you know, by their consciousness. They've come. They have been able to approach that super consciousness. The word super soul actually has, there's no word like that anywhere in scripture, super soul. The closest is the Sanskrit word Parama Atma. Parama Atma means the transcendental or the greater soul. But Prabhupada coined this term super soul so that people around him, the young hippies, could relate to that word. Because at that time, a very famous phrase was super consciousness. We're one with the super consciousness. So when you say super soul, they connected with it. Oh, that there is another personality called Krishna. So here Gajendra is saying something that Prabhupada, I guess, demonstrated. That by expert words, giram, or manasaha, by one's mental strength, or chetasa, api, Chetasa is by one's consciousness. One cannot approach the Supreme Lord. One cannot come to contact the Supreme Lord. Words are a medium we use to describe someone or something. And we can only describe and put into words people and things or phenomena within our experience. Anything outside of our experience, we don't have words for it. How many times we've said, something I felt, I cannot describe it. Or, I don't have the words to explain to you. We've used phrases like these. So the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or the soul even, has no words. If you carefully observe Bhagavad Gita, the very beginning where Krishna is speaking, right? Does he use the word soul anywhere? In the famous verse, Dehinosmin yatha dehe kaumaram yavanam jara tatha dehantara parapti dhiras tatrana muhyati. The favorite, famous verse, the most quoted verse by Prabhupada. Is there a word soul used by Krishna there? The words used is Dehina, that embodied being. That embodied being. He doesn't say soul, he just says that which gets embodied. Dehinaha asmin dehe. That embodied thing in this body. Kaumaram yavanam jara. Seems to go through childhood, youth and old age. Tatha deha antara. At the end of this body. Tatha dehantara prapti. Deha antara means goes from one body to another body. It receives from this body and then it receives another body. That's all. He never says soul. Why? Because you can't describe the soul. What word would you use to say the soul? Now we say Atma. It comes later. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that language, while it is very developed, and you can describe by different words in our dictionary and in your lexicon, you have so many different words and phrases to describe something, there are still things and phenomena beyond that experience that you can't say in words. So how do you describe Krishna in words? You can't. So the closest we can come to is describing him in relation to things we can experience. Krishna is Shyama Sundara. He is darkish, Shyama, and Sundara, and beautiful or handsome. Now if you pick 20 people and ask them to describe what dark and beautiful means to them, you get at least 40 different explanations. Or we say Krishna is Navina Nirada. Navina is new. Nirada means that which gives water, which is a cloud. So Krishna is as beautiful as a fresh rain cloud. Okay, fine. And our closest experience is to actually see the nice dark rain cloud and say, that's how Krishna looks. Because a dark rain cloud, a fresh rain cloud, is the closest with our experience. If Prabhupada just said, Krishna is very handsome, or if the scripture said, very handsome, I mean, we would say, is he like, I don't know what we would say. Our experience of handsomeness, beauty is very relevant, right? So it's in the eye of the beholder. Is he as beautiful as Mike Tyson? Like, really? No. Even more. Is he as good looking as whoever? No, we can't explain. So our words fall short. That's what he's saying, Giram. And guess what is he using right now to call out to Krishna? Words. And so part of his humility is, oh, I'm calling out to you by all these words, but I can't reach you. My words can't describe you, who you are. Anyone felt coming in front of Kishore Kishori or Prabhupada or the deities and felt tongue-tied and don't know what to say? Anyone felt? And when we say something, it's usually something very mundane. It's just like, and then you look at the prayers that the great acharyas quote and like so prolific. Wow. Right? So words have their serious limitation. That's what he's saying. And then he says, okay, beyond words, I can't speak it, but I can think it. Mind. How far can our mind go? Does the mind travel fast? If anyone wants to know, the best experience when mind is traveling fast is japa time. You've seen a race, a 100-meter dash by Usain Bolt. He stands there at the line with whatever that thing holding his feet. So he has this perfect stance. He says, ready. They all rise, set, ready. And guy flies 100 meters at 9.6 seconds. So when we are saying Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, our mind is also in that stance, ready. And as soon as you say Hare Krishna, the mind travels all around the world. Immediately. We are here, we are there, we are in India somehow, or we are in this part of the world. It is how fast can the mind travel? Like that. You just have to think of a place, which is the farthest place from here. Japan, Tokyo. You say Tokyo, Tokyo, and you're in Tokyo. So fast. The only problem is, our problem is not that our minds are fast. What's our main problem? Our minds are fast but misdirected. That's the problem. Having a fast mind is not a problem. Actually, it's nice to have a fast mind. Most people in the modern world have a very dull brain. It doesn't move fast enough. We can't think fast enough. So having a fast mind is a good thing. It's just that it's the problem is that it's misdirected. We ask the mind, can you fast? Can you go quickly here? It goes the opposite direction. Can you not think of this? No, no. Stubborn. The four characteristics Arjuna describes of the mind. My dear Krishna, you're telling me to control the mind, but my mind is chanchala, extremely agitated. Cannot just sit in one place like a monkey. Chanchala, pramathi, so adamant. Adamant, there's a difference between being adamant and being stubborn. Adamant means when you say to the mind, go there, it says, no, I won't. Or when you tell the mind, don't go there, it will say, no, why should I listen to you? Pramathi, and it says, balavat, is very strong. And drudham, is very obstinate. So obstinacy is like a donkey. So in the first part is like a monkey, and the last part is like a donkey. So we have like a zoo inside us. There's a monkey, too agitated. There's a donkey, too obstinate. And a big gorilla, too balavan, this is like, sits in one place and cannot move. And that mind, although moves fast here and there, Gajendra is saying, I can't reach you. Why can't I reach? Because I don't have any understanding of what that transcendental place is where Krishna is. that space, that sphere called the Vaikuntha, the spiritual world, the residence of the spiritual world. What to speak of the supreme in the spiritual world? We can't reach a supreme even in this world. Can any one of us dream to meet the president of the country? No, even if he dreams, like in your dreams, Prabhu. Right? Even in this world, we can't imagine what life inside the White House looks like. Can anyone know? Very few people. So that's beyond our imagination. What to speak of the spiritual world? And what will we imagine? Right? When we chant japa, let's say, we close our eyes and we try to imagine the form of Krishna. Is it possible? At best, we may remember a particular piece of the garment or a particular way the deity was dressed. At best, only for a nanosecond. But our mind cannot grasp the form of Krishna. Try as much as you want. You cannot. Even when you're looking at, let's say some people, so they have the pictures of Radha Krishna in front of them when they're chanting. Even as you're looking at the picture, where's the mind? All over the world. So he says, the mind cannot reach. Okay, consciousness. I elevate my consciousness. I walk into meditation. But consciousness means experience, awareness. Where is that awareness about Krishna? Nobody. At best, someone has an awareness of something so vague called that light. What to speak of the form of Krishna? So he's offering very honest prayers. My dear Lord, I'm calling out to you in desperation. And his problem is not, I was thinking about it this morning. Imagine Gajendra's situation. It's not like he's having a problem and he has some time. He comes to the temple, offers his obeisances to Krishna and says, I'm in a lot of difficulty right now. Can you help me? There is a deadly crocodile chewing or biting on his leg. He's been fighting for 1,000 years. He's tired. He's hungry. He's thirsty. He's now at the verge of giving up that fight. It's at those moments that he's calling out. And he's saying, what can I call you out as? My words cannot reach you. My mind cannot reach you. And what to speak of my consciousness? Forget it. I can't. Because you are situated beyond all this. But then he glorifies the Lord. Although I can't see you, although I can't describe you in words, you are very close to me as the Atma Pradipa. You're right there enlightening my soul. And Sakshine, you're witnessing everything for everyone. You're there. You can see. You can help me. So that's the context of the prayer. Beautiful, huh? So now, Prabhupada says, Atma Pradipa means self-effulgent. Self-effulgent means fully realized. Or one who can make others self-realized. That is Krishna. In Bhagavad Gita chapter 10. Krishna says, I sitting in everyone's heart out of compassion, give them transcendental knowledge using the torchlight of knowledge. I awaken them to enlightenment. Tesham eva anukampartham aham agyana jam tamah gyana deepena bhasva. Nasayami atma bhavasto gyana deepena bhasva. So Krishna is one who can enlighten everyone. Such a personality, he's asking, please help me. So now that's the verse. There is a famous book called Padyavali. Padyavali is an basically means in transliterated is anthology. It's a collection of poems. So Rupa Goswami went and picked poems from all the great Vaishnava acharyas and put it in a book form and called it Padyavali. So all the great Vaishnavas who were his contemporaries and his predecessors, he collected from them. So there's one verse which was referred to on Sunday, and it was one of my favorite verses, so I had a chance to pick it up. Now let me ask before I enter that verse. For a few moments, let's forget about human beings. Let's list out all the different animals and birds and whatever other species that Krishna gave his mercy to. They basically fall into two categories, right? Devotees and demons. And they are spread across species. Can we list out some names of animals or non-humans? Forget rakshas, non-human-like in the bird, animal, tree category that Krishna gave his mercy to. Hanuman, okay, monkey. Jatayu, what awesome bird was he? Vulture, it's like the most ignorant bird. Prabhupada would say, what's the use of being like a vulture? Vulture has eyesight that he can see 3 miles away clearly. Right? He has fantastic eyesight. And Prabhupada would say, okay, he has excellent eyesight. What is he looking for? Cadavers. He's looking for dead bodies. So what's the use having such excellent eyesight if you're only looking for dead bodies? So vulture, Jatayu is a vulture. Kalia was a deadly serpent, poisonous like anything. Who else? Bhumi, she was in the form of a cow. Okay, Bhumi Devi. Okay, well she's his internal potency, but someone he gave his mercy to and brought them out from. Lord Chaitanya gave mercy to Shivananda Sen's dog. In the story right now, the two, Gajendra, the elephant, and the crocodile. Do you know the name of the crocodile? Hoo Hoo. That's his name. It's going to come up later in this verse. His name was Hoo Hoo. He had a brother. His name was Ha Ha. Yeah, really, they're two brothers. They're Gandharvas, great singers. And Hoo Hoo got, you don't know this story? Oh, it's coming up. Hoo Hoo got cursed. He was from China. His name was Hoo Hoo. And he got cursed because he messed around with a great sage. You know what he did? This Hoo Hoo was a Gandharva, very good looking. And what is Gandharva's quality? They sing very well. You know that men and women, when they sing very well, they charm others. We've heard so many wonderful devotees who sing, and we're charmed by their voices, the way they can modulate their voice and, you know, sing all the notes and move across the octaves. And it's coming from me. It's a very thing. Okay, so music is not my gift, but I know in theory and all that. And when they sing, we're like, ah, right? So this Hoo Hoo was a Gandharva who had charmed the ladies from the heavens. So with one such lady, he had entered the lake and he was playing with her. On the side, there was Devala Rishi. Where is Devala in Bhagavad Gita? In 11th chapter, Arjuna says, Asita Devala Vyasa, they all have said you're a great person. So Devala Rishi was in the water meditating. So Hoo Hoo, to show off to the girl, went underwater and pulled Devala's leg. And Devala Rishi got disturbed in his meditation. He said, I curse you to be a crocodile, and now you can keep pulling people's leg in the water. Ah, please, please, I'm sorry. No, I was. You've seen when people want to charm the ladies, they become stupid. Have you seen that ever? Right? When they want to impress the girls, men do really stupid things. So, who also did something like that? So when Deval Rishi cursed him, they started begging, please forgive me, please forgive me, forgive me. He said, all right. When Lord Vishnu is protecting Gajendra, he will give you also mercy. Ah, thank you. So crocodile. Another from Krishna book. The children were playing. There was something in the well. Lizard. Krishna delivered a lizard. His name was King Nriga. Okay, any other animals? Birds. Trees? Two more Prabhus naked in the water. Something about being in the water and being intoxicated, right? These two Prabhus messed around with Narada Muni. They became Arjuna trees in the backyard of Nanda Maharaj. What else? Who else? All the demons in Vrindavan, they came as different animals. Dhenukasura came as a donkey. Keshi came as a wild horse. Bakasura came as a crane. Who else? Any other animals? Aghasura came as a snake. So if Krishna can give mercy and deliver all these animals, what to speak of human beings? And what to speak of those human beings who are trying to serve him? So the point I'm trying to bring is that we should feel very confident, not arrogant. We should feel very confident, not taking for granted that Krishna will always protect us. He will always care for us. If he cares for all these animals, what to speak about? And all these animals, whether it was Huhu or Gajendra or the alligator, Nriga, they all had one characteristic that's common, except the demons in one sense. Chitayu. They all had one characteristic, and that is devotee. Yeah, for them to be a devotee, they had received the grace of a devotee. So we are all, in that sense, very well protected, that we have the grace of Srila Prabhupada and the grace of our spiritual masters. So under all circumstances, Krishna will protect us. All we have to do is to call out. Although our words are limited, our minds are limited, and what to speak of consciousness, our sense of awareness, we're not aware of anything. Still, we have the great opportunity and the great access to Krishna just by the grace of pure devotees in our lives. Just by the grace of devotees in our lives. So Padyavali, now this prayer will make a lot of sense hopefully. So in Padyavali, I'll skip the Sanskrit, although the Sanskrit is very, very sweet. This devotee, his name is Sri Dakshinatya. So Dakshinatya is basically a Saraswat Brahmin from South India. That's what it means. He lists so many devotees of Krishna and shows how they were all disqualified. Okay? For example, the first he says, the hunter dharma, which is Mrigari. He says, where was the hunter's piety? The hunter was not pious. He was half killing the animals. Right? You know the story of Mrigari. You know the story? You don't know the story of Mrigari? Man. I can tell you stories still about 10 o'clock today, but I don't have the time. I have to leave now. Anyway, there's Mrigari, the hunter, who had the great joy in his heart to shoot arrows at the animals and not kill them. Only half kill them. So he would like to come and see them as they were palpitating and you know, suffering and couldn't breathe and their death was slow. It was like very torturous. So Narada met him and told him, just kill the animals straight. Don't do this. So he was not at all pious. So he says, where was Dharma's piety? Second, Dhruva's maturity. Was Dhruva Maharaj a mature fellow? As a 5-year-old boy, he became very angry with daddy. And what was his get back mentality? I want a kingdom greater than my father's. Actually, you know what? I want a kingdom greater than my grandfather's. I want a kingdom greater than my great grandfather's, which is the universe. I want a kingdom greater than the universe. And I will get it. I'll go to the forest and meditate for it. That's not very mature. And he says, Gajendra's knowledge. He was offering fantastic prayers. But he's considered a dull animal. He's an elephant. The elephant, what does he do? The elephant is very strong. Of course, according to National Geographic, is very intelligent, no doubt. Because he can break sugar cane. But basically the elephant has strength that is all what we call brute force. Wherever he walks, he crushes everything. He's not delicate. He has no knowledge. He's just like big guy. Recently I heard somewhere, which is interesting. Do you know why the elephant, although is so huge, has very small eyes? The lion, the tigers, other animals have big eyes. Only the elephant, who's so big, his eyes are completely disproportionate to his face. They're very small eyes. Do you know why? It is said that he has very small eyes because through the small eyes, everything looks big for him. So if he sees a mouse, it looks big for him. That way, the other animals are protected. Because everything looks very small, the elephant can just crush everyone in the forest. So Krishna's arrangement is, although he's a big guy, everything looks big. So he says, oh, it's a big one. I don't have to mess with them. That's how it works. Anyway, where is Gajendra's knowledge? Not there. Then he says, where was Kubja's beauty? Kubja is this hunchback lady that Krishna saw in Mathura. And the pastime is actually very sweet. We know that Krishna put one foot on her toes and with his index finger raised her chin and she became straight. That was the best chiropractor you ever seen, right? In one stroke, perfect spinal alignment. But do you know how Krishna found Kubja? Krishna was at a busy marketplace in Mathura. And he was a young boy, 11, 12 years, when he had entered Mathura. What do young boys do when they are in a busy marketplace? They look for young girls. Come on. Right? They look for young, good-looking, sharp, you know, girls. So as there was, as, you know, how young men are. We were all young men. I shouldn't say we were all. We are all young men. But in this example, don't include myself. As young college students, when you would find, go to a place, you go to a party, what's the first thing we do? We scan for all the good-looking girls. And we say, okay, I got to talk to her, get her phone number. This is how it works. In the marketplace, Krishna scanned all the beautiful ladies and he found the ugliest one, Kubja. He walked up to her and he said, you're very good-looking. And then that's how he straightened her up. So Krishna is such that we may be in wherever we are, Krishna knows how to find us. His vision is very sharp, that exactly he knows when to where to give us mercy. We should not think, oh, I'm so lost in a crowd, Krishna cannot see me. He knows, he will come to protect. So anyway, where's Kubja's beauty? She was very ugly. And then he says, where was Sudama's wealth? Sudama was very poor, so poor that is compared to Kolavecha Sridhar. Kolavecha Sridhar is Sudama. And my spiritual master says, Sudama had more holes and less dhoti. And all the holes, he had put knots so that he could hide the holes. So his whole dhoti was just knots. There was more open space. I think it was perfect for summer, but anyway. It was Sudama's wealth. Where was Vidura's noble birth? Vidura came from a very obscure... His father is Vyasadev, but mother, maidservant. You know the story of how Vidura was conceived. You don't know? You guys don't know stories? You know how Vidura was conceived? You forgot. Man. There was a time where the whole Kaurava kingdom did not have an heir. And the two kings, Chitrangada, who were sons of Maharaj Shantanu, and Chitrangada, and what's the other person's name? I wish Prahlad was here. Vichitravirya, thank you. Vichitravirya and who's the other name? I forgot. Chitrangada, sorry. I'm so far ahead in the story. So these two had died. They were the princes. So there was this whole Kaurava family without an heir, without a prince. How is it possible? So then Queen Satyavati, she invited Vyasadev to come. Vyasadev is half-brother. And in that age, in desperate situations, the brother-in-law could conceive a child in the sister-in-law. Of course, now we know, Devarena Suttotpatti. It says not allowed in Kali Yuga. In that dire circumstance, that clause is there. So she invited Vyasadev to come. Come urgently. And Vyasadev had told her, whenever you think of me, I'll be there. So she's thinking, oh, Vyasa. He showed up. And he showed up with his whole body covered with ash, his hair completely matted and with dreadlocks because he was at the music fest somewhere. And his skin was completely, you know, wrinkled and completely emaciated body, skin hanging like that because he was performing serious austerities in the Himalayas. And as soon as his mother thought of him, he said, I must go. So he just showed up like that in his loincloth, a little one. And she said, I need your help. I want you to impregnate the two queens for children. Said, I'm in the middle of austerities, mommy. Said, no, we're desperate. We need a prince. I said, all right, so be it. As soon as this is over, I'll go back to my meditation. So she arranged. The first queen, Vichitravirya's wife, she looked at Vyasadev and she couldn't tolerate him. So she closed her eyes. So the first son that was born was Dhritarashtra, born blind. And Satyavati said, this is not working. Next one. So as Vyasadev entered the room where they were supposed to, I guess, mate, she turned so pale looking at his form. So the boy was born was Pandu. He was very pale and weak, you know, no red blood in his body, like all pale. So he said, no, he can't be the prince either because he's very weak. He can't rule. One more time. He said, Mom, I can't do this. No, one final time. Go back to the first queen. And she told her, this time keep your eyes open. Okay. She said, it was too much to look at Vyasadeva. So she called her servant. Instead of me, you'd be there. And that servant very nicely received Vyasadev. Oh, please come. And the son who was born was Vidura. Because she received him very nicely and got his seed, he turned out to be super intelligent. But he was the son of a servant. So he could never get onto the throne. So it says, where is Vidura's noble birth? Okay. Where was Ugrasena's chivalrous strength? Ugrasen was the king of the entire Mathura land around there. He had conquered all his enemies. But there was one enemy he didn't know existed. And that was his own son, Kamsa. Kamsa decided, I want to be the king. And he imprisoned his father and became the king. We did a drama here many years ago for Janmashtami. Patrak, Patraka Prabhu was Kamsa, right? I think he was Kamsa. No, he was Ugrasena, I think. Rajiv was Kamsa. He was Ugrasena. He's sitting on his throne. Rajiv is Kamsa, comes in and says, ha ha ha, capture him. And they arrest him and he became the king. So what happened to all his chivalry? He got defeated by his own son. And so he says, all these persons, although they are weak in some great way, they're all devotees of the Lord, the great devotees of the Lord. And the line says, Lord Madhava is pleased only by devotional service and not by material qualifications. I'm so glad, otherwise we would never become devotees of Krishna. It's not material qualifications. It is devotional service that Krishna is attracted to and attracted by. So in this verse, he is called as Bhakti Priya. Okay, that's any comments, suggestions, questions? It's 8:24. If you could kindly keep it short because I have to drive.
I'll try because I haven't really formulated a question. So
you can do it next time if you like to formulate.
I'll try my best real quick. You were mentioning the counter culture and this, back the hippie days. And basically, I would talk to some devotees. I write, you know, back then it was free love. And that's kind of the essential theme of Lord Chaitanya. So my question is that in the Bhagavatam is explained, not the free love back then, but the real love. In the Bhagavatam explains that what pleases the Lord, unconditional love, and that's essentially how we become enlightened. Like you mentioned that verse, Tesham Satata Yutanam. Lord Krishna says, like I said, I didn't formulate the question, so I can't.
Okay, so maybe we should.
So my question basically is that when Lord Krishna says that if you worship me with love, then I'll give you wisdom. So it's not like conditional love, because we have many conditions. If people, like Prabhupada, when Bhakti Swami went to Prabhupada, he says, Prabhupada, your devotees are not showing me unconditional love. And Prabhupada said, yes, that's true, but you're also not showing them unconditional love. So how can we distinguish between whether we're getting enlightenment just from mechanically reading the books and whether Krishna, or whether we're performing Samsidhir Hari Toshana, where the Lord is actually inspiring us due to our unconditional love. So how can we distinguish?
We get realizations from reading Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam, not because we're reading the book. It's a wrong understanding that if I read the book, I will get realization. We don't. We get knowledge. Realization comes depending on how we read the book. Devotional service is not about what we do necessarily. It's about how we do it. If you're washing a pot, it's a pot. So it's not like you get profound realizations from washing a pot. You don't get profound realizations from reading a book. We get realization how we do it. This is Krishna's pot. This is Krishna's kitchen. This is Krishna's book. This is Prabhupada's gift to me. Let me do it so it is pleasing to Prabhupada. Let me read so it is pleasing to Prabhupada. Let me wash and clean and cook and serve and sing and whatever we do, go out there. Let me do it in a way that it is pleasing to Guru and Krishna. Then realization comes. It's not because I did something. The word service, we use it as a distinction between activities. Somehow that is not service and this is service. If I wash a pot in the kitchen, in the temple, it's service. If I sweep the temple floor, it is service. But if I sweep my own apartment floor, it's drudgery. If I drive my car to the airport to receive a devotee, that's service. If I drive my car to work, that's like sense gratification. It's not like that. Service is in the attitude. Service attitude. Of course, I can't say that I drink beer with a service attitude. Of course, activity is also important. But it's the activity and more importantly, the attitude behind the activity. So we study books. Our tendency, we've been so trained that we read for knowledge. I want to know knowledge. Then we end up with knowledge. We want to read to get to know Krishna. So we read it in a mood of, I want to serve Prabhupada by reading his books. It's the how. Okay. Anything else? Otherwise I got to head out for the day. Thank you very much. It's very sweet to be with all of you and discuss Srimad Bhagavatam. Thank you for being patient and kind upon me. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.